said you weren't going to laugh at me. I'm not. For nearly 5 seconds, Suki succeeded in holding her expression steady before a snort burst out of her, and she doubled over, consumed by giggles. Scowling, Katara whacked her with a cushion. A lot of help you are. I just needed some advice about what I should say to him. I don't need you making fun of me for having a crush. Despite an obvious effort to compose herself, Suki couldn't seem to stop giggling. I'm not making fun of you! Uh-huh. I'm sure you have some other great reason for laughing at me then. Oh, come on, Katara! Suki sat up as straight as she could, shoulders still shaking with barely suppressed laughter. You can't ask me how to figure out if Zuko likes you back and expect me not to laugh. She wiped her eyes. I always thought Sokka was supposed to be the oblivious one in your family, but even he saw this coming ages ago. What are you talking about? Katara, everyone can tell that you like him. It's been obvious for a while. I think the only person who doesn't see it is Zuko. At long last, Suki's expression steadied. And incidentally, he's also the only person worse at hiding his feelings than you. Katara pressed her lips together. Sure, she'd had feelings for Zuko for a while now. It wasn't entirely unbelievable that the others might have noticed it at some point. But when it came to Zuko, nothing seemed that clear. She had noticed her own feelings shifting one morning when he offered her a hand up after a particularly long sparring match, but she'd never noticed any change in the way he acted around her. Even now, when she couldn't look too deep into his eyes without forgetting how to string words together, he was still just Zuko. Oh, don't give me that face. You must have noticed it. I haven't, Katara insisted. I mean, yes, we're friends, and I'm pretty sure he likes spending time with me, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Suki rolled her eyes. First of all, the fact that he likes spending time with you is a big deal. If you weren't around, I'm pretty sure that Zuko would be perfectly happy not to leave his office more than once every 3 days. And beyond that, you can't honestly tell me that you've never seen the way he looks at you. That was an exaggeration. Right? It had to be. Katara talked to Zuko all the time, and she would have noticed if there was anything out of the ordinary in the way he looked at her. And how exactly does he look at me? She asked. For a few seconds, Suki just stared. You're being serious, aren't you? Of course I am. He's always looked at me the same way. Ever since he found us at the Western Air Temple, he's just been him. Katara hugged her knees tight to her chest. I think I'm falling in love with my best friend, and I really can't tell if his feelings have ever changed. Can you please just help me figure out what to say to him? I really don't want to mess things up if he doesn't see me that way. There was another pause, this one almost longer than the last. Fine. I'll give you some advice, but I'm not telling you what to say. I don't need anyone blaming me if you chicken out. Katara scowled. Thanks a lot for the confidence. Without acknowledging that comment, Suki leaned forward. You need to start paying attention to how he acts with everyone else. The difference when you're not around is ridiculous, and once you see that... Wait a second. If I'm not around, how am I supposed to see how he acts? I don't know. Just... Suki waved a hand in the air. Spy on him. Sneak up on him if you have to. It's not like he'll ever get mad at you over something like that. My point is that as soon as you see how much he lights up around you, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to figure the rest out on your own. This was starting to feel silly. It wasn't that Katara mistrusted Suki's advice. Though, admittedly, she'd found the idea of sneaking up on Zuko a little absurd at first. She could see the logic in the idea of it. If Zuko really did light up around her, his uncanny ability to recognize the sound of her footsteps meant that she wasn't likely to see it herself. If he liked her enough that her mere presence was enough to change his whole demeanor, she would probably have to put in a fair amount of time and effort to catch him off guard. The trouble was that now, when she'd made up her mind to at least try Suki's idea, it was proving difficult to sneak up on him. Absurdly difficult. So difficult, in fact, that she'd begun to question whether this much effort could really be worthwhile. She liked him a lot. Of course she did. But if it was this hard to figure out whether or not he felt the same, maybe she would be better off if she expected the fact that they would only ever be friends. Maybe. But for now, at least, she'd gone a bit too far to back down without making herself feel even sillier than she did already. Because while she'd contented herself with meandering up behind Zuko while he was distracted yesterday, today she'd gone a step further and stashed herself in the hollow space behind a tapestry outside of his council room. And as much as she might regret the desperation that had brought her to this point, she couldn't just leave. Any moment now, the doors to the council room would open, and a dozen stuffy old Fire Nation noblemen would file out right in front of her. The last thing she needed right now was to humiliate herself quite that thoroughly. It was one thing for Zuko's council to think that she was stubborn and unreasonable in her demands while she attended summit meetings. It was quite another to let them think that she made a habit of hiding behind the tapestries around the palace. Katara leaned back against the wall and let out a long breath. On the bright side, while the tapestry she'd chosen was opaque enough that no one would see her from the hall, she could at least make out vague silhouettes from here. It probably wouldn't be clear enough for her to make out anything significant in Zuko's expression or mannerisms, but she could deal with that for now. As long as she could escape with her dignity mostly intact, she could worry about figuring out Zuko's feelings later. She waited in the darkened hollow for longer than she was proud of. Long enough that she would have had several good opportunities to creep back out and return to her room if she'd been brave enough. At long last, the door did open, though, and she watched the advisors file out one after another and another. Including Zuko, there should have been around 10 people in the room, so she counted the figures as best as she could as they passed by the tapestry. Sure enough, after she counted 10 of them, the hall went quiet again. Silently, she counted down the seconds until a minute passed, then another. Then, when she was absolutely confident that everyone was gone, Katara pushed the tapestry to the side and stepped into the corridor. At almost the same instant, there was a startled gasp behind her, and a squeak burst out of her mouth. Clapping a hand over her mouth, she spun on the spot.
"Katara?"
Zuko hastily dropped back out of his bending stance, and his expression shifted from shock to confusion to something between surprise and relief.
What are you doing out here?
There was certainly something that changed in his eyes when he realized that it was her, but Katara wasn't willing to assume that it was what Suki had been talking about. She had just burst out from behind a tapestry, after all. Zuko was probably more relieved to see that it was her and not a stranger or an advisor than anything else. It was certainly more relief than infatuation, at least. Katara did her best to regain her composure. "I don't suppose you would believe me if I said I was birdwatching. Would you?"
"Probably not," he answered slowly. "There aren't any windows in this hall to start with. And I'm pretty sure I would have heard something if a bird got into the palace."
"Right. I probably should have guessed that much." She scuffed her palms against her thighs to wipe away the gathering dampness. "I might need a few minutes to come up with a better excuse." Though he still looked bemused and bewildered, the corners of Zuko's mouth pulled upward.
"Whatever you were doing, it looks like you've got some cobwebs stuck in your hair."
Her hands flew up to her head.
"I do? Oh, ew! Gross, gross, gross!"
Gently, he caught hold of her wrists.
"It's just one spot. Hold still and I'll get it."
He leaned in closer, and Katara froze. That small, soft smile playing across his lips was familiar, but something about it did feel different. Warmer, maybe. Or brighter, or something. His fingertips brushed lightly over one of the narrow braids hanging by the side of her face and plucked a bit of fine, wispy spider silk out of her hair. Maybe it was just the proximity. Or maybe Suki's words were just too fresh in Katara's mind, but when the usual fluttering in her chest started up again, there was another, newer sensation sitting alongside it.
There. I guess the next time that the palace staff starts bothering me for things to do, I can have them clean the tapestries. I had no idea they were so full of cobwebs.
Neither did I, she said, her voice scarcely rising above a whisper. Spirits, what was that feeling? The fluttering was beginning to fade, but if anything, she felt herself being drawn even closer to him. It was steadier, though, calmer and stronger than anything else she'd felt for him before.
So you weren't bird-watching, Zuko said.
The amusement was obvious in his voice, but it, like everything else, was gentle.
Can I ask what you were doing, or is that a secret?
She didn't have to tell him the truth. She didn't have to say anything at all. She knew that. Maybe it was just his proximity or the light in his eyes. She couldn't be certain, but she spoke almost without thinking. Actually, I was hoping to talk to you. But I knew that you were meeting with your advisors, and I didn't want to talk to them, and... Well, in hindsight, I probably could have found a better way to accomplish that. He snorted.
Honestly, I might have to steal your hiding spot someday. I like spiders a lot more than I like some of my advisors.
He turned, stepping back just far enough to give her space to start walking alongside him.
What was it that you wanted to talk to me about?
Her face went hot, and she silently thanked the spirits that he wasn't looking at her. I was just wondering if you might want to have dinner with me. Tonight. Just the two of us. Zuko stopped walking.
Do you mean that? I mean, are you sure?
There was such a tentative hope in his eyes that it took all her will to resist the urge to reach up and run her thumb along the lower rim of his scar. She smiled up at him instead. I wouldn't be asking if I wasn't sure.
Oh.
His cheeks flushed scarlet, and he cleared his throat.
Okay. Then, yes, I'd like that. I'd really like that.
Her heart skipped, and she felt her smile broaden involuntarily. Okay. I guess I'll see you around dinner time, then. His smile warmed until his eyes practically glowed with pure happiness.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Maybe a late dinner time, she amended hastily. I have a feeling that I'll have to wash some dust and cobwebs out of my hair before then. Zuko laughed.
Don't worry, I'm sure I can wait that long.
Then, smiling almost blindingly bright, he took a small step back.
I'll see you later this evening.